Right now, we're very happy to welcome on to the program. You read him in the Kansas City Star. He is Blair Kirkhoff. You follow him on Twitter at Blair, K-E-R-K-H-O-F-F. Blair, thanks for taking the time. Welcome back on to KMOX.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for the plug.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start by talking. We'll get to the Chiefs in a second, but I want to talk about the Royals because they are on the verge of clinching a playoff spot. It's not quite locked in the last I saw, but this has been an incredible story because they got off to a great start, but I don't think many people thought that they were going to keep it going. And even though they fell off a little bit, they've been able to stay basically in playoff position the vast majority of the season. What led to this kind of turnaround for the Royals?
Well, it started with a great offseason. Acquisitions like Seth Lugo and Mike Wacha, as St. Louis fans are very familiar with. It started previous season when they got Cole Reagans in a trade for Chapman, the relief pitcher, Aroldis Chapman, excuse me. And then the emergence of Bobby Witt Jr. has been major this year. He came off a very nice 2023, and he's putting up an epic 2024. Probably will finish second in the MVP voting to Aaron Judge. But a lot of things came together for him this year, and you're right. They reversed a season. They were 106 losses last year. They're at 85 victories, and magic numbers won with the Twins. So they win one of these games against the Braves. The Twins lose one against the Orioles, and the Orioles are going to the playoffs. Nobody around here really believes it.
It's been fun watching these three teams in Kansas City, Detroit, and Minnesota go after two playoff spots because those three teams all from the AL Central, they're all battling out for these playoff spots, even though it's not for the top spot in the AL Central. And we've seen Kansas City kind of tread water, Detroit just surge, and then Minnesota's really just fallen off.
That's right. You described it well. Detroit has played so well down the stretch. Great August and September. They are a hot team. They're a team I wouldn't want to see in the playoffs. Minnesota is falling apart at the seams, playing terrible baseball. And the Royals have endured a pair of seven-game losing streaks since the All-Star break and still are this close to their first postseason appearance since the World Series team of 2015. It's been a long time. It's been since that long, really, since we've had meaningful baseball in Kansas City in September. It's just been a blast.
I want to put you on the spot a little bit on this because the major story in St. Louis today was a report that came out written by Katie Wu of The Athletic about the Cardinals player development system and how it is lacking in such a big way and how that has resulted in the disappointing results of recent years. Can you speak a little bit to the player development system in Kansas City and what they have in place and how much confidence there is in them being able to develop major league ready players?
Well, that's a good question. I think before this season, you would have questioned it. The success of this season really is contingent on the acquisitions that were made, some trades, some free agent signings, and not so much player development. In fact, the Royals farm system, not so much. They're not highly rated at all in baseball. That's kind of been a hole for the organization over the last few years. But Bobby Witt did come out of this, came up from the draft. And Vinny Pasquantino also came up through the draft, from the draft and through development. So there have been some success stories. But, it's funny when you compare the Cardinals and the Royals, people in Kansas City have been so envious of the consistency of the St. Louis organization for year after year after year. It just seems like the Cardinals are in contention, and more often than not, seemingly a postseason team, while the Royals are, they're out of it by August, and you're looking for the next bobblehead night to see when you're going to go to the ballpark. It's different to hear, there's some angst in St. Louis about this. and Kansas City on the verge of a playoff appearance.
It's bizarre world right now for sure, and it's probably the last thing that my listeners want to hear me talking about. But it is the world that we're living in right now, and we're not shying away from it. All right, the Chiefs are 3-0, but they're playing with fire every single week. It's been close every single week. Something happens kind of crazy that helps them find a way to win. When you're talented, when you have good coaching, the breaks tend to go your way. But at the same time, it really feels like they got to start putting maybe a better effort on the field.
Exactly. And it starts with Patrick Mahomes, believe it or not. He said as much this week. He really has put the burden on his shoulders about why they're not playing better. But there's a lot of teams in the NFL, all but like four others, that would love to have the record that the Chiefs have. But and the fact that they've beaten the Ravens in the opening game, who they beat in the AFC title game a year ago, and the Bengals in week two, which is a nemesis for them over the last few years, and then winning in Atlanta on Sunday Night Football, a team that a lot of people think can win that their division, there's got to be some level of satisfaction with what's been accomplished. But I think with the Chiefs, there's a sense of they can be much better than what they've showed here. That Patrick Mahomes, who has five touchdown passes and four interceptions, including one in each of the first three games, poised to make his 100th start on Sunday at L.A., still has all the records for quarterbacks in their first 100 games, and he's done it through 99. So I think Chiefs fans are just they're okay with where they are because of the record, and there's a sense that things can be better, and they hope it starts on Sunday.
I want to punch myself for asking this question, but is Taylor Swift Travis Kelce's Yoko Ono?
It's funny. We talked to Travis today. He avails himself one day a week to the beat writers, people that cover the Chiefs, and he would spit on the ground before he admitted anything like that. He turns 35 a week from Sunday, I think it is. There's no doubt that the fact that he's been in the league for 12 years, he plays a position that's demanding, that where he gets a lot of punishment week after week. There's no doubt that that's had an impact on him. But I think there's a few things going on with him, that the reason he only has 8 receptions for 69 yards, and that is Mahomes has been uneven in his play, and the Chiefs' offense has been uneven. So defenses are playing, they're playing deep. They're playing the cover two. They're giving the Chiefs the middle of the field and they're playing a little bit of softness in the middle. Should be something that the Chiefs should be able to exploit and Kelce should be able to exploit. But those are going to Rashee Rice, the wide receiver, who's had an excellent season, has 24 receptions. He's running the routes that Kelce used to run, and Kelce's getting the attention that would go to a number one wide receiver. So I think he's going to be okay. And I know fantasy folks don't hate seeing the production that he's had so far this year. He's not going to have the numbers he's had in the past. I think he'll be there in the most important times. And he played his best ball a year ago in the postseason. So I would not be surprised if that was the case this year, that he just sort of just moseys along throughout the regular season, maybe has a 60 or 70 catch season, and then come playoff time, it's the Travis Kelce that we've all known.
Is this running back group, is this wide receiver group good enough to make this offense look the way it has looked in recent years? Maybe not so much last year, but years before that?
Yeah, that's what we all thought going into the season, that the addition of Hollywood Brown with Xavier Worthy, the number one, the first round draft pick, they would go into this season and just basically replace or replicate the speed that they showed in the Tyreek Hill years in Kansas City. But then Hollywood Brown injures himself on the first play of the preseason and is basically gone for the year. If he comes back at all, it would be in late December, early January. And Xavier Worthy's a rookie, and it just takes rookies an extended amount of time to get comfortable in the Andy Reid system. So basically what they're left with is kind of the same wide receiver lineup as they had a year ago with Rashee Rice, who, again, is having a terrific year, and he's a year better He's been great. Justin Watson, Mecole Hardman, Sky Moore, you know, kind of the same familiar names that the Chiefs fans remember from a year ago. And look, it turned out okay at the end for the Chiefs with an offense that wasn't, you know, the high flying, you know, aerial act of 2018, 2019, 2020. It ended well for the Chiefs. I think they're in store for some of that again this year with some improvement. Again, the big thing is Rice being a year better. Tell you what, though, if he gets hurt, they could be in a world of trouble.
Blair Kirchhoff is an excellent sports writer. You read him at the Kansas City Star, at Blair Kirchhoff on Twitter. Blair, thanks for the time. I'm sure we'll talk again down the line.
Enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Very good. Blair Kirchhoff joining us here on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.